Welcome to Legislative Breakdown. It's a podcast from Boise State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Wright with Gary Moncrief, Boise State University political science professor emeritus, who spends his spare time, if he has any, studying legislatures around the country, including Idaho's. And in this podcast, we break down the Idaho legislature. What's happening, drilling down into the why, and how it affects you. Okay, so the legislature. Fans of this podcast may remember last year with Bruce Newcomb when he labeled the Idaho legislature, at times, a goat rodeo. I'm going to improve on that this year, and we're going to call it a two-headed camel rodeo for this year, and that will become clear as we go on. Two-headed camel, keep that picture in your mind. Let's head over to Medicaid expansion. Wherever you fall on the Medicaid expansion argument, the process of getting it passed this session has been a little wild, to say the least, and a lot of people are upset by the process. Here's Representative Alana Rubel of Boise.
Now, I can't underscore to you all enough. I hope that people have gotten some sense how damaging this session has been, and this exercise in particular around Medicaid expansion, and of course also the ballot initiative, but how deeply damaging this session has been to the faith of the people in their government.
Okay, Gary, you told me this week you've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I think what Alana Rubel is saying there is absolutely the case, that this year in particular, not just these two things, but especially these two items have been handled, has been really tough in terms of the reputation of the legislature. Now, you know, we've talked a lot in this podcast before, Samantha, and you know that my kind of thing is I think most people don't really understand legislatures very well, and I've always felt that if they understood them better, they would, A, have more influence or be able to influence the process, and B, they would appreciate the institution, the legislative institution, and sometimes the legislators themselves. Because I think, personally, I think both the institution, especially the legislators, often get kind of a bum rap because of a kind of simplistic view of what the institution is. Frankly, this year it's been hard for me to make the defense of the institution and the legislators in quite the way that I usually do. Because I agree with Alana Rubel. I think Representative Rubel is right here that in fact this year they have quite seriously damaged the view, the reputation of the institution, and have done themselves no favor, in my estimation.
So the two-headed camel rodeo is not over until the two-headed camel rodeo is over. So we're going to be back probably next week.
I'm not quite sure where that was going. I thought you were going to say that it's not over till the two-headed camel sings, but I don't know.
Anyway, so as soon as it is over, we will be back to hopefully wrap things up and put some kind of cherry on top of the camel. So, Gary, we'll be back.
Okay. See you soon.
Let's talk about some of the things that happened at the Idaho legislature in the past week. We had all kinds of concerned citizens who came this week to talk about mandatory minimums to end drugs on drug sentences, to talk about gun laws, to talk about sex education and opting in, and a very strange one that came up on stadiums. Gary, tell me about this vote. It's actually about money and urban renewal districts.
This is a proposal. This requires money that's being used from urban renewal funds for stadium or in some cases some other kinds of public purposes to require a vote, a referendum essentially on whether or not to pursue that. And obviously this is aimed at the city of Boise at this point.
And it got a little heated in the committee hearing that happened in House Rev and Tax this week, House Revenue and Taxation, with Representative Robert Anderhurst, who brought the legislation forward, followed by Matt Erpelding and then Mike Moyle. So take a listen.
I think it does a good job of trying to recenter what urban renewal does best and brings a lot of these questions back to the voter, which is also the taxpayer that ultimately is responsible to pay for these decisions. The primary problem is that there isn't any public input on these type of projects.
I have never seen a piece of legislation more targeted at a single city ever before. Legislation like this coming from legislators who do not live in that jurisdiction is frustrating. Changing an urban renewal district that lies in District 19 specifically, even though don't live in District 19, and not talking to the representative specifically about the change is just a frustrating thing.
When you create those urban renewal districts and take all those revenues away from the county, those of us in the outlying areas are also affected. So while you may think it only affects District 19, it raises the property taxes on everybody throughout the county and any of those other overlying districts. So I'd remind you, this is not just your district. This is the whole area.
You know, regardless of how one feels about the stadium issue and whether there should be a public vote on it or not, this is a good example of something we've talked about in the past, and that is that state legislatures often bump up against their own cities, their own local governments generally, but especially cities. And one of the reasons it's especially cities is that cities tend to be a bit more intense in terms of their governing because of the nature of cities, and because they tend to be more progressive often, so especially larger cities, than the legislature happens to be. You know, we've talked about this in regard to some preemption bills before. It's just not at all uncommon, but it makes local governments very uneasy when they see this kind of thing.
I know the legislature has wrapped up, but we have not, so we wanted to put a cherry on top of this legislative session. Some have called it a catfight, at least I'm calling it that. Gary, would you say this is a catfight?
Yeah, it's been a difficult session, let's say that.
Okay. So Republicans and Democrats were fighting. Republicans and Republicans were fighting. The House and the Senate were fighting. All right down to the very last day last week. And I've got this piece of audio, besides the catfight, that encapsulates kind of all of that. So bear with me. This comes from April 8th in the House State Affairs Committee. Republicans had just reintroduced restrictions on citizen initiatives after the governor had vetoed the original bills. It would have made it harder to get an initiative on the ballot. So at this point, we hear from Republican Heather Scott and Democrat John Gannon. They were arguing with the chairman, Republican Stephen Harris, about whether or not they should bring this issue back up after the governor's veto. But don't worry so much about the technical jargon they're talking about. Just listen to the voices and the frustration that comes out on all three sides, starting with Heather Scott.
Is that the rule you're using to justify that we can rebring up this bill?
We do have a ruling from the parliamentarian that I do support, and so I rule that these motions are in order.
Okay, can you just tell me what the parliamentarian, what part of the Mason's rules is she using to justify that?
Well, I'll let her or others later on go through those arguments.
Shouldn't we know that
before
we... I'm
not in a position to do it now. So if you wish that you think this is inappropriate, then vote appropriately.
I just want to know what rule she used.
I'm going to rule that these motions are in order.
Oh, okay.
Representative Gannon.
A question, Mr. Chairman. Is this a ruling from the parliamentarian or is this a ruling from the chair?
So the chair makes the final ruling.
Okay.
And my advice from the parliamentarian is that this is fully in order, and so I'm ruling that this is in order.
Okay.
That's how it would break down. Yeah, thanks.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know you think this is in order, but I just want you to show me where it's in order for this committee, because I don't think it is in order. I can't find it in the book, and I'm just trying to – you mentioned 725, subsection 5. Is there another section I should be looking at? That's all I want to know.
Thank you. I appreciate your concern. Does anyone else wish to discuss this topic? No. Thank you very much. Representative Gannon.
Before we get to the substitute motion, I'm wondering if we should ask the clerk to take a look at the chair's ruling with regard to Representative Scott's motion, that her motion is out of order.
So my decision is final on that.
So you don't want to ask the clerk about that?
Correct.
Okay.
So, Gary, this seemed to me a prime example of what went on in the session this year, not just for lawmakers, but also for the public. A lot of confusion over really quick-moving bills and a lot of frustration with the process.
Yeah, I think that's right, Samantha. This raises a lot of issues about this session generally and about legislatures generally. There's an old line from John Dingell, who was a congressman from Michigan for many, many years. In fact, he was the longest-serving congressperson in history, I believe. And he was a parliamentarian of sorts in Congress. And he's famous for having a line that said, if you let me write procedure and I let you write policy, I'll screw you every time. And essentially, that's what I'm hearing here, is people are concerned about procedure. I mean, rules matter. Procedure matters. And a lot of times when you hear this kind of discussion about procedural movements, there's a lot going on behind the scenes there. Obviously, that's what's happening here, is that it's really about getting another effort at this initiative thing out there, even though it had been essentially beat down by the public in many, many examples of testimony, and then vetoed by the governor.
And full disclosure, you were actually testifying against this bill.
Yeah, I actually wound up testifying three times against this bill in its various forms. So, yes, I'm not objective on this. And the reason that I took a stand on it is because it was about procedure. In 43 years of teaching political science at Boise State University, I almost never took a public stand on policy. But I did take a public stand on procedure on a couple of occasions, and this one in particular.
All right, Gary, this is the end for now, so never say never.
Yeah, it's been an interesting and very frustrating session, I think, for everybody, and I think almost everybody's glad it's over for this year. So I'm not necessarily glad the podcast is over, but I'm glad the session's over.
Gary, it's been great.
Thanks.